Please turn in your Bibles with me to the book of 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians. We are going to study through this book on Wednesday nights whenever I am teaching. And I want to do a little bit of an overview of this book tonight for you to help you kind of get the general idea and gist of why he wrote this particular book. And, you know, there are many books in the Bible that have a general theme to them. When after you read through them, you kind of pick up on it, a thought, a subject. Like, for example, the book of Proverbs. Wouldn't you say the book of Proverbs, the general theme there would be the wisdom of God versus the foolishness of man and the fear of God, how that it brings great wisdom to our hearts. And then we've got the book of Galatians that deals with the transition between law and grace and how that people get confused about that and how that there's legalism versus living in the Spirit and walking in the Spirit. Now, how about the book of Acts? Now, if there's any been ever a transitional book in the Bible, it would be the book of Acts. That takes us really from the Old Testament into the New Testament, really. And so you got to keep that in mind when you're reading through that. Because a lot of people want to try to duplicate what the apostles were doing rather than responding and reacting to their teaching and their doctrine. But God was laying a foundation there in the book of Acts. And you don't go back and rebuild the foundation, but you build upon it. Jesus Christ being the chief cornerstone, the apostles being the foundation, and then the rest of us are building that building. And I think that building's almost complete. I do. Then you look at 1 Corinthians. What's 1 Corinthians about? Well, you're talking about a guy that's writing a letter to answer a lot of questions, try to solve a lot of problems in a very carnal-minded church. He was trying to help them with those issues, and boy, they had a lot of them. But also, you'll find the book of Hebrews. I wonder who that was written to. I think that was written to the Gentiles. I think it was written to the Hebrews to help them to understand that God was making a change and how that the Lord Jesus Christ was much better than anything that the Old Testament had to offer. Jesus was better, whether it be Mosaic law, or whether it be angels, or whether it be Melchizedek as the priest, or whether it be the offerings, or whether it be the Sabbath. Jesus was better, and they need to move on from that. But now you have here 1 Thessalonians. Now, I want you to watch, see if you can pick up on the theme in this particular book. Read with me, for example, in verse 9 and 10 of chapter number 1, where the Bible says, "For they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you, and how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God." And notice verse 10, "And to wait for His Son from heaven, whom He raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come." All right, look in chapter 2. Look in verse number 19. The Bible says, "For what is our hope or joy or crown of rejoicing? Are not even ye in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at His" what? Coming. Notice in chapter 3 and look in verse 13. Well, we'll back up to verse number 11. "Now God Himself and our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ direct our way unto you, and the Lord make you to increase and abound in love one toward another and toward all men, even as we do toward you, to the end He may establish your hearts unblameable in holiness before God, even our Father, at the" what? "The coming of our Lord Jesus Christ." And notice it says, "with all His saints." All right. Look in chapter 4. And you'll notice in verse number 13. Familiar passage for most of you. But there's some young Christians in here who have not heard of some of the things you're going to be reminded of tonight. So be patient. All right? Verse number 13. He said, I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, referring to the dead, that you sorrow not even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the what? The coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout and with the voice of the archangel and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Verse 18 gives you another reason why he wrote this book. Wherefore comfort one another with these words. Look in verse 23 of chapter 5. See if you pick up on the theme. Have you guessed what it is yet? Verse 23, and the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray God your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the what? The coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now you notice how important this epistle is to Paul when he said in verse number 27, I charge you by the Lord that this epistle be read unto all the holy brethren. Sound to me like he wanted to get the news out to everybody to comfort them about the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because when shortly thereafter, he wrote another letter to them because there were some people who were confused about a few things and who were troubling some of the saints. One of the things that should never divide Christians is the blessed hope, is the fact that Jesus Christ is coming back for us. That should never divide the saints. Now, you'll notice in 2 Thessalonians chapter number 2 and in verse number 1, now the reason why sometimes this has happened among Baptists and among other Bible-believing groups is because of the confusion between what we call the rapture and the revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ. They are similar, but they are distinct. And they happen at a different time. And you'll notice in chapter 2, verse 1, it says, now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together unto Him. That, my friend, is in reference to... Now, the rapture, you're not going to find that word in the Bible. You're not going to find the word Trinity in the Bible. You won't find the word deity in the Bible. But the thought and the truth is presented pretty clearly in the Word of the Lord. But he said in verse number 2, that you be not soon shaken in mind or be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter, as from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand. I want to say to you that there are some distinctions that need to be considered between the rapture or what can be also referred to as the translation of the church versus the revelation of Christ to come and set up His kingdom. If you do not believe in the differences between how God works with Israel and the Gentiles and the church, it's going to be very difficult for you to rightly divide or understand God and how He works in eschatology. Because the majority of your Bible is not about you, and it ain't about me. It's not about the church. It is about the nation of Israel. And most of the prophecy that are in the Bible are about the nation of Israel and how God deals with them. And they are still His chosen people. And so when you see that, it helps you to understand what God is doing as far as eschatology is concerned. But the rapture, look in chapter number 4. And back again to verse number 13. When Paul wrote these words, he said, I don't want you to be ignorant. I dare to say that when you read the first few chapters of the book of Acts, I want you to think about this for just a moment. In the first few chapters of the book of Acts, you find the church, those Jews, they're selling everything in their land back where they came from, and they're staying in Jerusalem because they have been told by the apostles that the Lord Jesus Christ is about to return and set up His kingdom. Those apostles asked Jesus right before He left about whether or not who could sit by His right hand. And Jesus promised them that one day they would sit with Him and rule over the 12 tribes of Israel. That's why you find their names up in the New Jerusalem. They were looking forward to an earthly kingdom for Him to return and set it up. That's what they were looking for in Acts chapter 1, 2, and 3. That they wanted that to happen. Well, it didn't happen. And as they rejected the Holy Spirit, just like they rejected the Father, they rejected the Son, they rejected the Holy Ghost, especially when they killed Stephen, you find God transitioning and opening up the door to all the Gentiles. The gospel began to spread around the world. And while it is built upon the foundation of the Jews, the apostles, God began to build that church, and it is primarily made up of Jews and Gentiles, but mostly Gentiles. But what you have there, the Bible says, you know that verse that says, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things passed away, behold, all things become new. And we always liken that unto a great lifestyle change, hopefully. But did you know that it means more than that? It means in Christ, you are neither Jew nor Gentile, male nor female, but rather you are now made up as what the Bible refers to as the church of the living God. That's what you are. You are a new creature that had not existed before. Christians had not existed before. They were called Christians first at Antioch. God has a divine plan for the Christian or the church of God that is separated from the nation of Israel. And what He's going to do during the tribulation period, that is the time of Jacob's trouble. That is the time of tribulation for the nation of Israel. That is God working with them again and also dealing with the Gentile nations. Now, the rapture is mentioned here in chapter number 4, and I promise you, the apostles like Peter, you know what Peter said about some of the writings of the apostle Paul? He said he wrote about the coming of the Lord, but he wrote some things that are hard to understand. That's what he said himself. What does that mean? As an apostle, Peter, they were limited to some degree of how God was going to unfold all this. So when Paul writes this, it is something that they had a hard time understanding. What do you mean by this? Because this is not the Lord Jesus Christ coming back with His angels to wreak havoc and bring great judgment, as you find in the book of Revelation, on that white horse to bring His wrath upon the earth. This is referring to something where that we are going up in the air to meet Him in the air. Totally separate event. Okay, but there are some people who don't believe that. It doesn't mean that they are not true believers. They just don't agree with you on that. And people should not divide their fellowship over that. Okay? I'm just saying that people get really bent out of shape about some of this. But look, and these words are for comfort. Look in chapter 4. This is totally new. And it's mentioned in 1 Corinthians 15 that all shall not sleep, but all shall be changed. Okay? Verse 13. I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not. And here's the difference in verse number 15. We say unto you by the word of the Lord that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep, and the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with the shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain, and here it is, shall be caught up together with them, where? In the clouds. Now, Cindy and I have had the privilege of being on the Mount of Olives. According to the prophets, that's where, when Jesus comes back in the book of Revelation, that's where he'll put his feet down. He will come back there in that area. That'll be a whole different ball game than what we're talking about here as far as the church going up to meet him in the air. You think the Lord knows the difference between the air and the earth? Most probably. I think he does. And here's something that you need to remember in the distinction between these two. The rapture is called the blessed hope. It's a gathering together. The Lord Jesus Christ coming for his saints. At the revelation, he's coming with his saints. The rapture appears suddenly. Could be at any moment. No signs, unnoticed, nothing needs to happen for the rapture to take place. Whereas the revelation of the Lord coming back, there are going to be some very significant things that are going to happen. And when we go up, there may not be as many going up as we think. But I do know that when we go up, it will be sudden. You know, in this day of AI, this day of weirdos and computers, there will be an explanation for our disappearing. Amen? And we will disappear. If you're saved, you will disappear. You will go be with the Lord. The Bible says your body will be changed instantly. And you'll go to meet the Lord in the air. So, listen, you may not want to believe that. I'm going to embrace it. I find great comfort in that to know. But the Bible says, though, when Jesus returns to bring judgment, that every eye shall behold him. And there's a difference there as well. The rapture, the believers will meet the Lord in the air, and the Christ, when he reveals himself there in the book of Revelation, he will touch down upon the earth. By the way, the rapture is a deliverance from the wrath to come. The revelation is when the wrath is going to be delivered. You understand the difference there? I hope you do. In the rapture, the Lord descends with a shout. We go to meet him in the air. Revelation, he's revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire taking vengeance. That's what the scripture says. Okay? Now, what I need you to do is go back to 1 Thessalonians chapter number 1. So if you hear the subject of the rapture and you get into a discussion with somebody about eschatology, don't allow them to rob you of your blessed hope that the Lord may come back. If they want to go through the tribulation period, let them go through it. It doesn't mean that we're not going to go through some tribulation, because I think we are going to go through some. I think there will be a purging. I think there's going to become a time of where, if you're a true believer, it may cost you something. But going through the tribulation, that's a different ballgame. And that's designed primarily for the nation of Israel. So, let's look at chapter number 1 of 1 Thessalonians tonight. I think you agree with me that Paul gave them, those believers, by the way, did you know he was only there in Thessalonica for about 3 weeks in an evangelism campaign and established a tremendous church in just 3 weeks? Then he had to leave. That's an amazing thing. And so you'll notice here, he left them with what I would call an expectation of the blessed hope. And they were expecting the Lord to come 2,000 years ago. So how much closer are we tonight of the coming of the Lord? There's some things that were written back in the days. Let's say if you live back in the days of the 1200s, the 1400s, and you read through the Bible and where you saw that those two witnesses that come in the book of Revelation that were going to be killed and the whole world was going to observe them, you would look at that and say, that's impossible. But now we look at that and we say, very possible. Very possible. The whole world knew that Christian Kirk was killed today. In an instant. And many of us saw the video. And boy, it was grievous when I saw it. But when those guys are laying there and the world is rejoicing, they're passing out gifts, they're glad those prophets are dead. The Bible says the whole world is watching this. And then God raises them up from the dead. I will be watching it, but I'll be watching it from up there. And I'm going to say, look at them. Look. And man, when those people see God raise those guys up from the dead, can you imagine the look on their faces when those guys get up? Because the Bible says those guys tormented them. Did you know when you preach the Bible, it torments some people? When you tell the truth, it torments some people. Those guys were prophets and they were preaching and they were slain. Laying on the ground, the whole world was like Christmas time. They were passing out gifts. They said, hey, seriously, what the Bible says, they said, hey, I want to bring you a present. We're rejoicing over the fact that these guys are dead. And then God raises them up from the dead. And then takes them back. You say, is that possible? See, you're trying to understand based on what you know. God wants you to trust Him and believe Him. God always works through His own science laws. You know that? And man has ways, somehow or another, many years ago, before there ever was a watch on somebody's wrist, Dick Tracy had one of those where you could talk, communicate, and y'all don't even know who Dick Tracy is, do you? I'm looking at a young crowd and you don't even know who he is. Well, by the way, you don't even know what a newspaper is. There used to be this thing called a newspaper that was black and white and everybody got it and it had comics in it. And they, I'm sorry?
A party
line. And there was Dick Tracy. But they had gadgets that nobody ever thought would ever exist that now it's no big deal. It's no big deal. Cindy gets notices on her phone. On her watch. You know, from the kids. I'll see her doing this. Like Dick Tracy did in the comics. Yeah, that's true. Amen. So, I'm saying that when you talk about, let's talk about something like Star Trek. That's the imagination of man being able to beam somebody up into heaven. God has no problem doing that scientifically with His laws of being able to do that. Not at all. Man, when you see those clouds, you know, and men, when I think about that, I think about the Lord being beamed up there in Acts chapter number 2. On the Mount of Transfiguration, beamed Moses down. And who else was there with him? Elijah. Beamed him down and then beamed him back up. No problem with God on those things. So don't limit it to what you know and understand of what the Bible says. Trust what the Bible says about those things. You say, well, I don't see how God can just come back and we just all of a sudden disappear and our bodies are changed. You don't have to understand it. You just have to believe that Jesus came, died on the cross, was raised again from the dead, and then when that moment occurs, God promises you, I will bring you up with my people. That's what I'm counting on. But you'll notice here not only is there an expectation, but he gives an explanation. He talks about the coming of the Lord and when he is going to be. I'm showing an example of this. I told you to look in chapter number 1, but turn with me to the book of Hebrews and chapter number 11. You know, normally if there is a Bible truth, God will give you a good illustration in the Old Testament. Okay? So let's look at the Old Testament example for just a moment. Hebrews 11, look in verse number 5. Has God ever taken anybody up into heaven from the earth? Yes. The Bible says in Hebrews 11, verse 5, it said, by faith, Enoch was what? Ah, that's translated. How about that? That he should not see death and was not found. Why? Because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. And one day Enoch was, and then one day Enoch was not. He was gone. And people were asking, where is he? He was gone. Now, to me, he is a perfect type of the church going out before, because that's going to happen when you read what happens right after that. You've got Methuselah, the oldest man that ever lived, 969 years. Did you know that the Bible says Enoch began to walk with the Lord when Methuselah was born? Methuselah means when he is dead, it shall be sent. That's what his name means. And so prophetically, Methuselah shows the long suffering of God before he brings judgment. Enoch, picture the church going out before the judgment comes. Methuselah, if you look at the numbers, it will tabulate down to the day that Methuselah died, the flood came. The flood came. The judgment of God came. But what God did was, he took Noah, put him in the ark. That's a picture of Israel going through the tribulation period, coming out to inherit the new heaven and the new earth. But the church is going out before that occurs. Don't you see the picture there that God has laid out for us to help us to understand that so that we can find some comfort? So I'm planning on being translated out of here, raptured out of here. And he said, the dead in Christ shall rise first. That stuff's going to happen so fast that it's going to be, the Bible says, what, in 1 Corinthians 15? In the twinkling of an eye. All right, go back to 1 Thessalonians, please. He gives them an expectation. Are you expecting the Lord to come back? Did you know that he wanted you to expect that so that you would get your house in order before he comes? That you would live, according to the book of Philippians, let your moderation be made known unto all men, for the Lord is at hand. They believed that he could come back at any time. And so they ordered their lives under that, believing that. I remember when I first got saved, I had, right out of high school, hadn't yet changed some things in my life yet, but I was working on it. I had a really nice car that was fixed up. Wasted a lot of money. Just a vain young man in high school. Had a really nice car, had tires on the back of it about this wide with chrome rims, jacked up, you know, loud mufflers. I know y'all don't know what this is, but it had a quadraphonic 8-track tape player in it. You say, what's an 8-track tape player? Well, I can't help you. Just, I'd have to show you one. They're like me. They're antiques. But a quadraphonic, I mean, that sound just surrounded the inside of the car. Man, it was going everywhere. And I wasn't playing gospel music either. But when I got born again, that stuff didn't matter to me anymore. And so when I heard about the rapture, I bought me this sticker. And I put it on the back of that car before I sold it. I put... Brother John's grinning. I don't know. But I put a sticker on. I said, if rapture occurs, you can have this car. That's what I put on there. So, because man, and at that time they were talking about the planets lining up and aligning, and they were talking about this and that. Man, it was so spooky. I'm a babe Christian. I'm thinking, man, he's coming back tomorrow. And man, I was excited about it, and I was scared about it. And I'm still waiting. And I may die before it happens. That's okay. I still beat you. This is the dead in Christ. You'll rise first. But it'll only be a split second. But I'm telling you, though, there was this expectation of being translated. I was so excited about it. But I'll tell you what it did do. It made me order my life thinking and believing that he could appear at any time, and I wanted to be ready when he came. I wanted to be clean. I wanted to be in the will of God. I wanted to serve him in case he came back, and he might come back tomorrow. Okay? So, let's go back to chapter number 1, please. Okay? At 1 Thessalonians. So, we're talking here now about he gives us the expectation. He gives us the explanation of the rapture of the church and the translation of the church. But he also gives an exhortation. Okay? Now, I said chapter number 1. Let's move over to chapter 2 and verse number 11. He gives them an exhortation. Because if you really believe the Lord's coming back, don't you think maybe that you should be walking correctly before the Lord? Look in chapter 2, verse 11. And he says, and as you know, we exhorted, there's the word, and comforted and charged every one of you as a father doth his children, that you would walk worthy of God, who had called you unto his kingdom and glory. Look in chapter 4 and verse number 1. You're to walk worthy. Now, knowing these things, with this expectation of his return, chapter 4, verse 1. Furthermore, then we beseech you, brethren, and there it is again, exhort you by the Lord Jesus, that as you have received of us, how you ought to what? Walk. And to please God. So you would abound more and more. The walk he's referring to there is you walking in holiness before God. Look in chapter, especially abstaining from fornication. Don't be shacking up. Don't be sleeping around like dogs do. Look in chapter 4, verse number 12. That you may walk, what's the next word? Honestly toward them that are without. That's what God wants you and I to do. All right, so we're looking at your walking there. That's an exhortation. Okay, let me show you a few more verses and I'm done. Look back to chapter number 1. Look in verse 9 and 10. I tell you what, let's read. How about if we start off reading chapter 1, verse 1? Look what he says there. Paul and Silvanus and Timotheus unto the church of the Thessalonians. Now watch, there's two things here I want you to see. That's very important. Which is in God the Father and in the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Did you pick up on that? Number one, he mentions their place on earth. Physically, it was the church at Thessalonica, like the church at New Canaan. But then he said, it also is the church that is in Christ Jesus. That is their standing. That is their spiritual state, that they are in Christ Jesus. Isn't that a blessing to know that you are not only in New Canaan, but you are in Christ? That is awesome, to know your state and your standing with the Lord. Notice in verse 9 and 10, it says, for they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you, and how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and the true God and to wait for His Son from heaven. Now the word wait there doesn't mean that they were just sitting around looking up in the sky. Because it just said they had turned from idols to what?
To serve.
So in other words, maybe I'm waiting on somebody to show up, but I'm going to be busy till they get here. I'm going to be taking care of things. Maybe I'm waiting on somebody to show up the house, but I'm getting everything in order. Cindy and I are trying to get things cleaned up and get everything ready before that person shows up. And the Bible says that while you are waiting on Him, you are to serve Him in your local assembly. That's what God wants you to do. Do you understand? And this thing about there should be no confusion about the doctrine of repentance toward God and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. It says here that they turned to God from idols to serve. Okay, now you'll notice something else in this book that I want you to see. They're waiting and they're serving. They're walking to please the Lord. Look in chapter 5 and look in verse number 6. The Bible says not only are they waiting and serving, not only are they walking in holiness and honesty, but in chapter 5 and verse number 6 He says, therefore let us not sleep as do others, but let us what? There it is. Watch and be sober. That sober, that means be serious about what matters to God. That you think upon what matters to God. And He says, I want you to watch for Me. I want you to be serious about it. I want you to make decisions based on the fact that I'm going to return. Okay? That's watching. Are you watching? Man, every time something happens in Israel, every time I'm taking note. Every time something happens around the world, what's happening with President Trump is so unusual. He's shaking the whole world. He's playing chess while everybody else is playing checkers. But God has raised him up for this moment. There's things going on around the world. AI being introduced to us. That is phenomenal. And all the things that are going around the globe, you need to be watching. Watching and waiting, looking above, filled with His goodness, lost in His love. All right, now watch. Y'all left me hanging there. When I sing, y'all sing. If you know the song, that's the rule. All right. Look in chapter number 5 and verse number 14. Now, have you noticed what's happened in this room tonight? We've got our mind off of what was troubling us. And now we've got some comfort and some hope in our hearts because we're talking about the Lord coming back. Okay? That world out there doesn't have what we have in here tonight. We can comfort ourselves tonight that no matter what happens out there, we have a God that's sitting on His throne watching over His children. What a blessing that is. Chapter 5, verse number 14, there it is again. He said, we exhort you, brethren. Remember now, they were waiting, they were walking, and they were watching. But here's something else in verse 14. Now, we exhort you, brethren. What's that next word? Warn. Warn them that are what? Unruly. God wants you and I to walk by the same rule. According to the book of Philippians and Colossians. We're to walk by the same rule. In other words, when we come together as a church, it's not like a buffet meal and everybody does what, in the book of Judges, everybody did that which was right in their own eyes. We have an authority over us. We have to walk according to the truth. I have to make my decisions based upon what the Bible says, not what I want to do. Not being self-willed, but submitted to the will of God concerning these things. And you know what my responsibility is? Is to warn somebody who is unruly, who won't submit themselves to the Word of God, who won't walk right and do what's right, who misrepresents God. He's talking about you warning believers that are unruly. You've got to expect the lost people to be unruly. But the saved man that's unruly, you need to warn him and her. Say, do you want to be caught doing those things and living like that when the Lord returns? How is that going to look at the judgment seat of Christ? So I hope and pray this will help you tonight. Read through the book, and we'll study it more in detail. Okay? Later. Let's pray. Father, thank you for these dear saints. And Lord, I pray that you'd encourage them tonight and give us hope in our hearts through your precious word. And one day, Lord, we shall see you and we will meet you, and we're looking forward to that. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, you're dismissed. God bless you.